and that we hear that in this meeting. And someone might ask, well, how can you make a statement like that, that you could be preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ? Well, we have this Bible, and we don't just take in the milk of the word, we go for the strong meat of the word. We want to know it all. And the Apostle Paul, he was given the revelation for this age that was hid for generations and from men for times past, was revealed to him, and then he wrote about it. And he said that he held back nothing that was profitable. He didn't keep it to himself. He proclaimed it. And he said he declared the whole counsel of God. So we have the whole counsel of God that we can say that we preach. And then Jesus said that the Holy Ghost would guide us into all truth. Not just some of it, but all truth. It's all for us. And the deep things are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. So I'm thankful that I can say that and be here by his grace, just a willing vessel. And I thought about, as I appreciate your prayers when I'm asked to be up here, and the Lord does anoint. When you're in this place, the Lord anoints the vessel. And I that anointing, though, is not like he's going to take a guy like me and give me an eloquent tongue, and I'm going to be able to say things just right and be able to convey my thoughts to you. I still stumble and bumble through it and all. I might misquote a scripture or a reference. And so it's not that, but the anointing is, of course, on his word and on your hearts to take it in. But the anointing that I felt, especially in my life, is the love of God that he puts in my heart for the family of God. That's the anointing. And when you love someone, you'll do anything for them. And it's not in any sense to for your own benefit. It's for that person. It's for others. And so the Lord gives me a love that is amazing. It is truly amazing how much the love of God has grown in our midst, and that anointing comes on me. So this morning, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Excuse me. And what the Lord's put on my heart here in Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And this is how the Lord has just dealt with me this week in seeking him for the message, is that this is such a wonderful family of God we have here. And how we can lift one another up and honor one another. That word honor means to esteem of the highest degree. And it makes me think of how Brother Hill used to get up here and say, I'm preaching to the aristocracy of heaven. And it's true. We here seek the Lord. We want to have his best. We want to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. And that's what he's promised to us. That's what God wants for us. He wants that for all his people, but it's not being preached too many places. And a lot of people shy back from that. They just think that that's too much. But here we're encouraged to believe God for everything and be quick to believe, not to in any ways look at ourselves and think, you know, how do I qualify for that? We don't. It's not in us. It's his grace. And we just say, Lord, I believe you. You're going to do it. And I'm in. I will go. So, but it's a brotherly love. It's like a family. We are a family. This is the body of Christ. And preferring one another. So we're not trying to thinking that, you know, I'm better than you, or I deserve this more, or something like that. No, we love one another. We're so encouraged when we see someone else come into the truth and a heart that's on fire for the Lord, and it just encourages us, and we mutually benefit from one another. It's not all one-way street here. And going on with this thought, let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting in verse 12. Paul says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." So, to know those that labor among you, and they admonish us. We should esteem them highly in love, it says. Not to put them on a pedestal, but we should love them the more. And when you see what someone goes through to minister to others, it makes you want to love them more, because you see they make sacrifices. And I think back to Brother Hill, because he was my pastor for so many, many years. But, you know, when he came out of that office with that skin falling off his body and just, you know, broke my heart. But he sacrificed for to bring forth the Word of God. And our pastor, too, Jesse, he goes through a lot. I hear a little bit, just a little bit of some of the things that he has to face. And it's a sacrifice. It's not an easy way, but we esteem them in love. This part where it says that these are labor among you and are over you in the Lord, it's not like they're your master. That's not the thought here. It means to stand before you. So like I'm standing here, I'm the one that the Lord picked today to bring forth a sermon, but it doesn't mean I'm in any way, shape, form better than anybody else here. It's just that that's the Lord chose me for today. But because Jesus said, you know, one is your master, even Christ, and you're all brethren. We're all just brethren. So we're not over someone in that sense. It's something that the Lord's appointed, and we just go with what he says. So it's the love. We esteem people highly in love. And one more scripture along this line, if you turn to 1 Timothy 5. And verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And so we have our elders that are here, and Pastor talked about them a little bit Friday night. And it's almost like if Pastor came and asked me to be an elder, I'd be like, well, what do you got against me? These guys got it rough. I sure love them. And I give them double honor, just like it says here. And it's esteem, honor, esteem. Those who labor in the word and doctrine. And they do. These three elders we have, they not only pray and visit some that are ill or whatever, but they teach and they preach. And so they're worthy of double honor. And I pray the Lord give them a double portion for that. But you see, the Lord's also given them a little bit of affliction in their bodies. Yeah, maybe not a little. Brother Dean, good to see you. But all of them, they've had their physical trials. And a lot of others here too do too. But this labor is a labor of love. They love the saints. And they're laboring to, like I say, to visit, to pray, to encourage, to preach, to teach, because of love. It's not because of anything else. It's just because of the love of God in their hearts, and thankful for that. So we should esteem them with double honor. And let's turn over to Philippians 2. And see another verse along this. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. So that's what I'm saying here. We esteem others better than ourselves. We don't look at someone and say, I'm better than you, or you know, I know more than you, or whatever it is like that. You lift one another up. And they are part of the body of Christ. They're our family, and we esteem them better. We want them to have the best. We would go that extra mile to help them if we could. So, we don't want to do anything through strife or vainglory. And Jesus talked about the hypocrites. He said, those men that would go and pray in a street corner so that men would see him. And he says, that's their reward. That's all they get for that. God's not listening to that. He says, if you pray, just go in your closet and shut the door, and God will hear you, and he'll reward you. So it's not through vainglory that we do what we do. It's for the glory of God. And it's like, I always make the comparison to the sound room, that if things are going well in the sound room, you don't even know they're there. You know, and if things are going well preaching, you don't even see the vessel here. You just, your mind is taken to the Word of God and to Jesus. And whoever's the vessel he's using, that's not what's important. It's God that wants to be glorified. So glory to God. Turn over to Matthew 20. And, of course, you get it, when I'm up here, you're going to most likely get a Bible study with a sermon. So Matthew 20. Jesus talks about this, starting in verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus says that you're not to have dominion over someone else. Our pastor's been going through Revelation, as I mentioned, and he talked about the Nicolaitans, and that word Nicolaitan means the clergy over the laity. It's power over the people. They had the clergy rule, and Jesus said he hated that doctrine. He hated that teaching. That's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to be take the place of ministering. And a minister is someone that's a voluntary attendant on someone else. So we're attending to someone else. We're not putting ourselves first. We're putting others first. And you think of Jesus, his example. Here's the Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who holds it all together, the one that was equal with the Father. He became a man, and he came down, and he said, I came to minister. And what did he do? He washed the disciples' feet, even, as an example. He said, I'm your master and Lord, and I've washed your feet. That's an example that you should wash one another's feet. We're not here to be lifted up. We're here to encourage one another. And, you know, we'll be exalted in due time. The Lord's, our day isn't now. You know, our day's getting to get ready now. But our day to be exalted is when the Lord exalts us, when he comes and takes us to be with him. So it just amazes me how humble Jesus was, how he went down, down, down like he did, and to be a minister and a servant. And he would go minister to just one person. He wasn't too important to that he had to preach to thousands. He would, if there was just one person, he'd go talk to him. So that's a wonderful example to us. That's the kind of humble person we ought to be. So now I have a little thing I put together here. You know, our pastor sometimes will he'll connect the dots. You know, he'll say, well, there's, you know, truth and love, and there's the faith worketh by love and spirit and truth, and he'll connect things like that. Well, the Lord kind of gave me a little connect the scriptures as I was studying here, so I'm going to read this to you. And it's just a bunch of scriptures that the Lord had me put together, parts of them. Love is brethren of like precious faith, dwelling together in unity, the unity of the Spirit. There is one body, and God set the members in the body as it has pleased him. Every joint supplieth unto edifying, till we all come unto a perfect man, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And unto them that look for him shall he appear, a crown unto them, all them also that love his appearing. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see his face. Joint heirs with Christ, glorified together, his wife hath made herself ready. So praise the Lord. I just thought that was something I would share with you, how the Lord put that together. But to love his brethren, we are taught to love one another. Jesus said, that's the commandment I give you. We're not under the law, but we do have a commandment. And that commandment is to believe in Jesus and love one another. And you know what? It's going to be not the love that we possess naturally. You'll find out that there's going to be someone come across you that you're having a hard time loving. And I can say I've been there, you know, that, you know, I had people ask me, is there anyone you don't love? Yeah. You know, but the Lord gives you that love. You seek the Lord and it's His love. His love will make you love everybody. And it does. In my life, I can testify to that. The Lord had given me, for that person I didn't love, the Lord gave me a love for him. And so love as brethren, God's love in our lives. Like precious faith, our pastor again talked about that Friday, that we have such a wonderful thing here where we have that faith that we want God's best. And not little faith, we want great faith and to believe the Lord quickly. And dwelling together in unity, the unity of the Spirit. Dwelling together, you know, that's settling down in marriage, our pastor says. That's what that means there. So the one body, I like that too. The entire church, past, present, future, the whole world, that anyone in the church, it's one body. There's not more than one church. There's only one true church. And this part I really like. God set the members in the body as it has pleased him. So if you're wondering, like, well, what part do I have in all this, you know? Well, God's put you in a place that pleases him. And it might not be up here preaching. It might not be singing or whatever, playing music. It might be sitting in the pew. And you know what? I actually appreciate it when I get to sit in a pew. It's a nice place to be. You get to take in the Word of God and grow, and it's precious. So don't think that's a small place. We all have a part because every joint supplies. There's no unnecessary parts to the body. Everybody supplies to the edifying of the body, the building up of the body. God has made it that way. And just in this body, there's all these different parts of this body that contribute to one body, and it all works together. And that's the way our body is in Christ. And so thankful, you know, when you see someone, again, just makes you appreciate anyone. It doesn't even mean they're necessarily doing something, but, you know, you see them go through a trial and they come forth and they have a greater love for the Lord or more humility or some patience or whatever it is, and you just see the Lord working in their life and you see more of Christ in them, and that's what rejoices us. We all have a part. And then to come to a full-grown man, a mature man, not just a babe in Christ, but looking for that blessed hope, and that's what we've been hearing in the songs and everything this morning, looking up, looking for Jesus to return. It's right here. Jesus can come any moment. Hallelujah, let's keep looking up. And with this world will drag us down. Our minds will drag us down, but just look up. Jesus is coming soon. And those that are looking for him, he'll appear. And as Paul said, a crown of righteousness, not just to him, but to all those that love is appearing. And we're going to be like him. Hallelujah. We have these bodies of humility now, frail problems with our physical bodies. But when he appears, he's going to give us a body like unto his glorious body. Hallelujah. And we get to see his face. I look forward to that so much, to look into his eyes. Oh, Jesus. And he wants us to be joint heirs and glorified together if we suffer with him. There is you do have to suffer with him if you want to have the best. And his wife has made herself ready. And it's not by any works that we're doing that we get ourselves ready. We just yield to what he has for us. He's got a plan and purpose in our lives that if we'll just yield to it, we'll have his best. He wants us to have his best more than we want it. And so the Lord just has that plan and purpose, and we face decisions every day. I know of my own self, something will happen at work or whatever, and I'm like, oh, what is going on here? You know, and it just frustrates you. Person on the road, whatever, you know, the things that get to us. You get ill and like, Lord, I don't need this now. But the Lord's working something in our lives, and he knows what he's doing. And part of that maturing process is to say, Lord, I know you're working this together for my good. It doesn't feel like it. I'm not really specifically enjoying it at the moment. Told you I'd bumble and stumble. But I know you're in control, and you want what's best for me. And I'm just going to let you do it. And it'll be all glory to God. It won't be getting there and saying, oh, boy, I hung out and I did it. No, you didn't grit your teeth and make it through. It was all Jesus, all the Lord. So how do we esteem others better than ourselves? And it's, I think, how we look at one another. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 16. And this is when the Lord had sent Samuel to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be a king. 1 Samuel 16, starting in verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come, he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So the Lord looks on the heart, and that's something that we kind of need to do. Now, we can't really see a person's heart, you know, like God can. But you can get a real good clues, because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you're around someone enough, and then you think about our meetings here, some of us see each other 2, 3, even 4 times a week for years and years, and we get to hear each other, a testimony or visiting, prayer, whatever. You get to know what's in someone's heart, and especially when you find out it's genuine, when something happens to them and they still go on. I know I've experienced that where I was, a man I worked with was a religious man from another denomination, and that they taught works, and he seemed to be a good guy all the time, but something would happen and boy, he'd blow up and start cussing and carrying on, and you see, wow, that's that's not the guy I know, but you know, he just would lose it. He didn't have that real true heart in him. It was a show. But you see someone in here, and I can think of several, but you know, people go through something that's been a real hard thing in their lives, and you find out if it's like where the rubber hits the road. Is that really true, what they say they believe? What, you know, they proclaim, what they sing, you know? And it is. It's genuine. What the Lord's working in a life here, you find out it's really the Lord doing it. So we can start to see what's in someone's heart that way. And praise the Lord. So that's how we should look at one another, not on the outward appearance. You know, you can get... look at someone, they look kind of tired or worn out or whatever it might be, busted up. But the Lord's working in their hearts, and it's a heart that we need to look at. And one more about this in 2 Corinthians 5. Starting in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So we're not to look at someone else after the flesh. We all have this old fleshly nature, but it's going to be gone in a moment. And what Christ is working in us, the life of Christ in us maturing and growing up, that's what we're going to have forever. So we know that there's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me, Christ in you, that's what we see. We know that that's there. And someone else, we might wonder if they're going through some tough times and they don't seem to be really getting it and they're stumbling and struggling. Well, they've got the life of Christ in them just like we do, like anyone else does. And that life has got the potential to overcome. So we can have hope in that. And so we look at others in the life of Christ that's in them. We don't look at the things they do in the flesh. It's that's not how you want to look at someone. You want to, if you're going to esteem them better than yourselves, you've got to look at the Christ in them. You look at the fleshly things that happen, you're going to be disappointed every time. Every one of us. None of us has been able to put off this corruptible yet. Not yet. Soon. Soon and very soon we'll put off this corruptible and we'll put on the incorruptible. But we're new creatures in Christ. We're a new creation. And that new life can't sin. It cannot sin. It's the love that I talked about earlier, that we would have a hard time in ourselves loving someone. Well, that new life, that new creation in us, it has no trouble loving someone. God loves the world. And it makes you love everyone when you know what Christ did for you, how much he loved us when we didn't deserve it. Makes you love others. So it's all about love. And we know that the Holy Ghost sheds a love abroad in our hearts. And that's what's been so evident to me in this meeting, that the love of God has really been coming forth more and more. And again, when the Lord anoints me, it's with his love for you. Praise the Lord. Just a couple more to close out here. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Just hear the Apostle Paul's heart there. And dearly beloved, and saints, I love you. That's why I do this. I mostly love the Lord first, but I love you. And our pastor loves you. You're his dearly beloved, his joy and crown. And you're my joy when I see you taking in wanting more of the things of God. What a joy to my heart and to one another, I'm sure. We're all that way when we see someone lay a hold and go on. And one more verse and I'll just finish my comments here. 3 John. There's only one chapter, but so verse 4 of 3 John. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I know any of us that are parents in this meeting can say amen to that. That when our children are walking in the truth, that's the greatest joy you can have. And it goes further for me than it's just my children. It's anyone in the meeting here. When someone lays a hold of the truth, that's the greatest joy. And you see someone that loves the Lord and wants more of him, wants to know the Lord more, get closer to him, be more like him. That's the greatest joy. So praise the Lord. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. The Lord is so good to us, so wonderful, and I love him. So let's bow our heads in prayer here. Dear Father, we're so thankful for you and for Jesus. Thankful for the precious word of God you've given us, and for the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to understand it. And just thank you for your grace that draws us here, Lord, to know you more. Thankful for your mercy, Lord, that when we don't deserve any good, Lord, you pour out the best. And Lord, just continue to take us on, that we would not have our eyes on the things around us or on ourselves, but on you, Lord, looking up, loving your appearing, Jesus, and just to have your best. Lord, you're going to complete the good work you've begun, and we're just going to all say glory to God. It's all you, Lord, thou didst it, not me. Have your way, and we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.